6 tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Taking a little break from our series that we've been studying through together. Our Old Testament book is the book that we began this morning on Ecclesiastes. I'm looking forward to that study as we study that book together. Our New Testament book is the book of Acts, and our topical series is Sound Doctrine, just walking through the different doctrines of the Word of God. But tonight the Lord's laid on my heart a different passage. And this is something that the Lord has put on my heart to preach to you tonight. Just a simple thought, but yet one that can really help us, encourage us, challenge us, convict us, all of it, all of the above. Ask the Lord to be with us. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, now would be your time to escape the service. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, now's your time. I appreciate those serving the Lord and helping you have your special service tonight. That is very good. There went baby Joy, I tell you. Wow, she is something else, no doubt about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 9 and following. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? If you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, there's two words found in verse 19, also in verse number 20. It's the two words, your body. Your body. And I want to preach to us tonight on that subject, your body. And when I say that, I'm talking to myself, my body, your body. I want you to think about your body tonight. Not talking about how big it is, how small it is, how tall it is, how short it is, how old it is, how young it is. Just think of your body tonight. And tonight I want to preach to us on our bodies. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless, challenge us, convict us, change us, do your work tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verses 9 and 10 of this text, there's a list of sinners given who cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. However, Paul makes a great statement to those who had trusted Christ. In verse 11, he said, such were some of you. Now, that's a great statement tonight. He goes on to say, but ye are washed. That word washed means purified. He said, you are sanctified. That word means set apart. But ye are justified. That word means declared righteous, acquitted. In other words, the fact is established here that Paul is directly speaking to God's children. He is not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to Christians, those who are the children of God. Then beginning in verse number 13, Paul begins to shift his focus from their spiritual standing with God to their physical body in this world. Notice verses 19 and 20, he uses the words, your body, your body. Now I want to give you three things right here from this text, verses 9 down through verse number 20, basically just dwelling on verses 13 and following, three things about our body tonight. Now, thank God if you're saved, such were some of us. But we are sanctified, we are washed, we are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, we ought to be willing to give God our everything. That includes our bodies. Now, that being the case, let me give you three simple things about your body tonight. If you are a Christian, Number one, your body has a possessor. Say it with me. My body has a possessor. This is found in verses 13 through 18 and then in verse number 20. Notice in verse 15 where the Bible says your bodies are the members of Christ. In verse number 20, he said you are bought with a price. Verse number 19, ye are not your own. You know, all three of these statements say one thing about the Christian, and that is this. The Christian's body, because it talks about the body, we're members of Christ, we are bought with a price, we are not our own. All three of those tell us one thing. We have an owner. We do not belong to ourselves. We have been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not belong to me. You do not belong to you. We belong to God. Now, to illustrate this, Paul uses the truth that we are members of the body of Christ. And we understand in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, that Christ is the head of the church. And get this, the body functions when the members function in accordance with the head. No member has a right, now get this, no member of the body has a right to act other than what the head tells it to do. You know, we have no right. Now let this sink in. We have no right to make our own decisions. You have no right to make your decisions. I have no right to make my decisions. Apart from our head. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jack Hiles, who's now with the Lord, was asked by a girl in college to go to a dance. His reply is classic. He said, I'd love to go to the dance with you, but I can't. When asked why, he said, I have no feet. The girl was quick to see that he really did have feet, which he could have danced and told him so. He simply told her that when he got saved, he lost control of those feet and that now he didn't have any feet to use for dancing. His feet had become God's feet. Somebody say amen there, please. May I say this to you? If it's the wrong kind of dancing, you shouldn't dance either. Amen. What I'm saying to us tonight is we have no right to make our own decisions and live in our bodies any way we want to. Because we have a possessor. We don't belong to us. Let me ask you a question. Are you living in your body in the way that pleases your owner? Is he pleased with how you're using your body? Romans 14:8 says this. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. It's a great verse. Your bodies, number one, have a possessor. Number two, your bodies, my body, our bodies, let me just put it that way, our bodies have a privilege. Not only a possessor, but we have a privilege. What is that? Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, ye are not your own. You know what I see there? I see a privilege. In Corinth, there was the temple of Diana. She was the goddess, excuse me now, of sex and love. In her temple, there were female prostitutes. And worship of Diana involved immorality with one of those prostitutes. Can you imagine that? Don't imagine that. Amen. Some in the church were used to this lifestyle. They were just used to it. Some may have thought that what they did with their body had no effect on their spiritual man. But at salvation, get this, at salvation, our bodies became the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. What a privilege. Honestly, what a privilege to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside my body. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You know, when we grasp the awesome privilege we have of housing God, we're the tent of God, we're the temple of God, we're the tent of God, we're the dwelling place of God, when we grasp that, we will grasp life itself. You know, it appears that many of the Corinthian church were using their bodies immorally. We'll look at these later, God willing, if we live long enough, and I live long enough to preach through the book of 1 Corinthians with you. We'd study this more in detail, but just listen to this. It appears that many of the Corinthian church, the church, were used to their bodies being used immorally. But Paul brings out the fact that our bodies are the dwelling place of God. Therefore, we should live in our bodies accordingly. You know, there's a reason that people who are hooked on alcohol will not bring a fifth of vodka or a beer can and come right in the house of God and sit right there and hold it and drink it in the house of God. There's a reason that you don't see cigarettes being puffed so much in church. Why? Because we live in somewhat of a respectful place where people look at the church house, that's God's house. Look here, please. He doesn't live here. He lives here. And if you say, I would never do that in church, then why would you do it in your body? Because God doesn't dwell here. God dwells here. Let me ask you a question. Would you live the same way you're living in the week in the church? Would you do the same things you do during the week inside this building? If your answer is, no. No way. Then it means something's wrong somewhere. Because we have tried to put God in a building. Now, by the way, listen to me, please. There should be respect for the house of God. There should be respect here. I'm not belittling that. But I'm saying we should not respect here more than we respect where God literally dwells. It's here, inside of us. This is a privilege. Let me ask you a question. I know it's simple. It's almost childish. But if you could see Jesus walking up your sidewalk and ring the front doorbell, and you invite him into your house, and he's going to stay with you for the week, would you live like you always do? Would you do what you always do? If you could see him, there he is. You can see he goes where you go. He listens to what you listen to. He watches what you watch. He listens to how you talk to each other. He's in the room with you. Let me tell you something, friends. We've lost sight of this. He's closer than that. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Let's be honest, if somebody's against a separated Christian life, I'm talking about living a godly life, separate from the world, under the Lord, somebody's against that today, they've lost sight of the holiness of God, friends. There's no question about it. For 2 Corinthians 6:16 says this, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a privilege. What a privilege to house God. I can't explain it. You can't explain it. But he's saying this. He lives in me. My house, my body, houses the Holy Spirit of God. Now, don't you think that should affect us some? Absolutely. Are we living like he's in us? Or have we lost sight of it? Number one, we've noticed that our bodies have a possessor. We don't belong to us. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. Number two, our bodies have a privilege. We house the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in our bodies. And then number three, this brings me to the third and final point tonight. Our bodies have a purpose. Not only do we have a possessor and we have a privilege, but we also have a purpose. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, now you know the old saying, anytime you see the word therefore, look and see why it's therefore, okay? And because we're bought with a price, because we do not belong to ourselves, because we belong to God, therefore, here's the purpose, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies have a possessor. It's God. Talking to Christians now, we belong to Him. He bought us with His precious blood. Number two, our bodies have a privilege. God lives in our bodies. And because of these two facts, our bodies have a God-given purpose. And that purpose, the Bible says, therefore glorify God. Glorify God. You know what the word glorify means? It means to magnify. It means to honor. It means to make big. I brought a little magnifying glass with me. It's small, it's this, but that's what it is. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment. What is the purpose of a magnifying glass? This is not a trick question, okay? It makes something bigger, right? Makes something clearer. Something that maybe you have a hard time seeing it. If you put a magnifying glass on it, you can see it clearly because it makes it big. It makes it more clear. It makes it more concise. And something that maybe somebody can't see right here with just the naked eye, if they put a magnifying glass on it, they can see it more clearly. That's what this word glorify means. It means in your body, magnify God. Make Him big. Make Him so people who don't know Him can learn the details about Him through you. This is the purpose. But see what happens, and you may not remember anything but this magnifying glass, and that's fine. That's fine. Because you look at this magnifying glass, this should be you. This should be me. Our bodies, where we go, what we do, how we talk. Everything that we do in our bodies should make God big to this world. Should show the details of God to this world. But see, what happens is this. Sometimes if you can take a magnifying glass and you take something and just put a smudge on it, right down the middle or this way or that way, let me tell you something, it still has the potential of making it big, but it's blurred, it's dirty, it's all these kind of things. Here's what I'm saying, the magnifying glass is there, it's your body, that'll never change. I want to ask you a question, is your magnifying glass smudged? Has it got some things on it that's causing the world that's looking at you not to see who God is? See, folks, we don't belong to us. We belong to God. And because we belong to God, we have a privilege. He lives in us. And because He lives in us, He's given us a purpose. He's like, I want you to make the choice to use your body to magnify me to a lost and a dying world. I want to ask you a question. Are you glorifying God in your body? Are you doing that? Is what you use your eyes for, your ears for, I mean your mouth for, your mind for, your hands for, your feet for, are you using your body to make God big? We have no right to do our own things. No right to make our own decisions. Philippians 1:20, Paul said this, Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul said, whether I live, Christ's going to be magnified through my body. Even if I die, I want Him to be magnified through my body. So before you do something, before you go somewhere, before you do that, before you act that way, before you say that, before you do this, ask yourself some questions. Will this bother my conscience? Because if it bothers your conscience, something's wrong somewhere. Would I be embarrassed if Jesus would return while I'm doing this? Or while I'm saying that? Or while I'm going there? Am I being brought under the power of something that should not be controlling my life? Does it build up and help others? If another Christian saw me doing this, would it hurt them? Would it cause an unsaved person to reject Christ? Is this acceptable to the Lord? Would Jesus do this? You say, that's a lot of questions, I know, but it's one major thought. Before you do it, does it make God look big? In a crowd this size, it's a good crowd, good Sunday night crowd. Thank you for being here. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt there's somebody living in such a way that your magnifying glass exists. It means you're a Christian, you're saved, but nobody can see anything through it because it's got smudges all over it. See, the Lord deserves our commitment, our allegiance, because He bought us with His precious blood. That's why in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Word of God puts it this way in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, God's children, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I ask you a question tonight. Is God pleased with what you are doing in and with your body? What comes out of it? What goes into it? What are you thinking about? What do you do? Where do you go? How do you speak? How do you think? Something inside that shouldn't be there? I'm asking you tonight, are you living in such a way that you say, thank you, God, for buying me? Are you living in your body in such a way that you say, I do believe that God lives in me. And if that will quench Him, I will not do that. I want to glorify Him. I want to magnify Him. I want to make Him big to this lost and dying world. You know, we live in such a day where it's sad to say, but many Christians today are minimizing God instead of maximizing Him. Minimizing Him instead of magnifying Him. And one way that we magnify Him is through our bodies. Our bodies. Simple tonight, yes? Yes? I know. That's who you got as a pastor. I'm just a simple preacher. That's all I am. Say, you know, it's not very deep. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be Bible truth. And the Bible truth is this. If you're saved, such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified. And because of that, you don't belong to you. God moved in you, and now He wants you to show Him to others. Will you give Him your body? If you don't, you're a thief. So the next time you think, boy, I sure would like to do that, but I know that would displease God. And before you think, oh, well, I don't deal with anything like that, really? Are you dead? It's called flesh, friends. This is very strong. But we need God's children to say, you know what? I know that's strong. I know that maybe I desire to do some things that I know I shouldn't do and do that and go there. And I know God's not. God, help me to understand what you've done for me. You've saved me. You've justified me. You've washed me. You've sanctified me. You have bought me. You have shed your blood to purchase me. And you have given me something to do. And it's not do my own thing, but rather it is to glorify God. You got it tonight? Amen. If you don't, I'm going to start all over again. You got it tonight, right? Amen. Then let's take our bodies and live in a way that makes Him bigger this week. Amen. Be the magnifying glass that God desires you to be. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, I pray tonight that You will help us to understand this. Help us to get this. Help us to apply this to our lives. Thank You, Lord, for the reminder in Your word tonight that such were some of You. But we are washed, we are sanctified, we are justified. And we should live in our bodies in a way that pleases You, in a way that magnifies You, in a way that makes You bigger. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. First question is this, because I never want to let a service come and go without giving you an opportunity, if you're here and never trusted Christ, to give you an opportunity to trust Him, to be saved, to become one of these washed and sanctified and justified. And I ask you first of all tonight, are you among the washed? Are you among the sanctified? Are you among the justified? As they begin to play through softly, if you are not, you can be before you leave. But if you are saved tonight, God in this message is speaking to you. You have a body. I'm not asking, are you pleased with your body? I'm not asking that. I'm asking, is God pleased with it? Not are you pleased with it, but is God pleased with it? Are you living the reality that God lives inside of you? That He's taken up residence in your body? And if you shouldn't do it in the church house, you for sure shouldn't do it in your body, because God doesn't live in a building, He lives in us. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about just dedicating your body to the Lord. Hey, it takes your body to surrender to the Lord. It takes your body to make decisions for God, to follow through on them, what I mean. It takes you in your body to carry gospel tracts. It takes you in your body to I'm talking about to pray and seek God. It takes you in your body to live in such a way, go places and do things that please God. This is it. What about your body? Have you really truly given it to God? If you haven't, why don't you make that decision right there in your seat? Say, dear God, thank You for giving me a body. And thank You that You have saved me. Thank You that You own me. I belong to You. Thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that bought me. Thank You for moving inside of me. Help me live like it. Keep that truth before me, dear God. And help me live in such a way that You are pleased with me, that I glorify You, I magnify You, I make You big, that I show You clearly to this world. This is it. It'd be great for teenagers tonight, young people tonight, older people tonight. It makes no difference the age. To even come and say, I want to give my body to God. I want Him to glorify Himself in my body. It's a great decision. It's a needed decision. We need people to make it. God's looking for you to make it. Stop making your own decisions. Let God make them. I hope you'll come. I hope you'll respond. I'd like to see a number of you come to the altar and say, God, here I am. Here is my body. Use me for Your glory. Father, would You take these thoughts and use them? simple thoughts, challenging thoughts. Keep these thoughts before us. And may the truth of them just keep going over and over in our minds and hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to come and just say, God, here's my body, take it, use it. How about it, teenager? How about it, child? How about it, mom, dad, senior saint? How about it, young married couple? Have you really ever told God, here I am, take me, use me any way you want to? You really ever surrendered your body to God? Said, here I am, take me, use me, here it is. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Come on, don't be afraid of it. Give your body to God. Come on, friends. As he sings, come out.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender.
Have you really ever surrendered all?
Savior, I surrender all.
We're playing through softly. We've had a few children respond tonight. That's precious to me. That's precious to me. I'll tell you something else. That's precious to God. Are there other children that say, I want to give my body to God tonight? Are there other teenagers tonight that say, I want to give my body to God tonight? I want to surrender my body to God for anything he wants, anywhere he wants me to go, anything he wants me to do. This is it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is what it's about. We have too many of God's children making their own decisions. God says, take your hands off of your life. I bought you. You belong to me. Give me your body. I want to live through you. Have Brother Gary sing one more verse. God's speaking to you. Come on. As he sings, you come now, would you please? Come on. Give it to the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Let's keep our heads bowed and we're going to be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. Be back in the Lord's house Wednesday night. God willing, Preacher Lass will be preaching for us. Looking forward to that. I'll be out of the state, but Preacher will take the reins, and we're looking forward to it, asking God to use him. And I appreciate Preacher Lassley.
Amen.
Appreciate Mrs. Lassley. They are living examples of this message I preached to you tonight. And I'm going to ask him if he wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. Preacher, please, if you wouldn't mind, sir, please.
Thank you.